One of the wackiest and most interesting parts of my practice is that over the course of 25 years working as a professional shamanic practitioner, one of the specialties I've developed is clearing entities. So some people call these spirit attachments or, you know, different language, but basically they're beings that aren't in bodies that are interacting with us who aren't spirit guides. They aren't qualified to be there for our highest and best good. And there are many, many different categories of what these beings are. And I have another podcast where I talk more about entities and getting rid of them in general. If you're really geeky, I actually have an entire program that goes into considerable depth for working with getting rid of entities and strengthening your energy body. But what I want to talk about in this podcast is an idea that came to me when I was looking at basically the important thing for business owners, which is how do people find me? And so there are various Google search terms, which makes sense. If you put in my name, Katie Weatherup, my website is happily the number one result. But one of the things that Google has been sending people to me for are signs of an entity attachment, or how do you know if you have an entity attachment? And I realized I hadn't really provided material where I speak to that, and I'd like to offer that in the hopes that it will be supportive if you're someone who is sitting with the question of, it feels like there might be something attached, I'm having some weird energetic sensations and things like that, and are wanting to get a feel for next steps. And I know there can be a lot of power in having a diagnosis. One of my favorite shows ever is called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and one of the songs was her singing about feeling like she was finally going to get an accurate diagnosis, and you know, whatever it is, it's going to be so great because then I'll know where this weird, wacky human experience that I've been having fits, and I'll have information about myself. And of course, it didn't really play out as she hoped. And in that particular episode, the doctor said, please don't Google this. And then she went and Googled it, and then she freaked out. And so it went. So when it comes to this, I totally understand the idea of wanting to research this and wanting to understand it. And I think the more that you ask Google, the more weird, wacky search results there are. There are people on Reddit saying really strange things, and there are a lot of people who have a really dramatic view, so they kind of take it as their mission to be at war with these non-corporeal things, or they're sure that they're all demonic and all out to get people. And I get that, but the trouble is it's kind of like the WebMD experience. It can be a really useful tool. However, it can also really take people down the wrong path. They can misdiagnose themselves. It can generate a lot of fear, a lot of activation. And in general, you know, I really understand the impulse. If you're struggling with something, if you're confused about something, doing research is a really sane approach. And I would offer that in this particular area, if you're wondering about entity attachment, researching it to try to diagnose yourself, probably not something that's going to do you any favors. And I want to talk more about why that is and what my recommendations are. So one of the things that I think is really useful in life in general is to pay attention to the quality of questions we're asking. Which questions are we asking? Sometimes the question of what's in the way is a really powerful one when we're realizing that we're not getting the movement or the change that we'd really like in a particular area. Instead of how do I make this thing happen, what's in the way of this outcome or this experience? And when it comes to entities, a good question is, how can I have a really robust energetic immune system? How can I have my energy body be, you know, quite impervious to energetic intrusions? Because a lot of people talk about entities, but we also deal with other people's messy energy. People are very, very messy with their energy. Psychic attacks are being flung around on the freeway all the time. People who, you know, are having a lot of trigger. We're just, we're not, as a group of humans, the most emotionally intelligent individuals. And even the people who've spent a lot of time in therapy can still have misdirected that experience in order to be more articulate about why they're the victim and it's everyone else's fault. So it's a sort of a weird, wacky world. And it's really good to be protected from other people's unregulated emotions and energetic messiness, as well as just various beings that, you know, run around and interact with humans non-consensually. So there's some really great ways to approach psychic protection. I have an article on the subject. There's a good book by Ted Andrews called Psychic Protection that's a great one to read. And just this notion of how do you protect your home, your bedroom, your personal energy field, keep all of these things really clean and clear, and filter out the energy that just doesn't belong and isn't helpful, whether we're talking about misdirected energy or entities, or even, you know, somebody who might have really positive feelings towards you, but it's disruptive and it's not invited. I imagine that it's a lot of emotional labor for celebrities to work with certain emotionally unregulated people, because so many of the people meeting them are so heightened by the experience of their appreciation and admiration. And I always think it would be kind of awkward to, you know, meet someone that I really admire and respect as a celebrity, because I might become really inarticulate and super awkward and feel embarrassed about, you know, the experience. Because when I get sort of unregulated, that tends to be, you know, something that happens. The social awkwardness goes through the roof. So having worked with many, many people to clear entities and to deal with their experience of entities, one of the things I know as a shamanic practitioner, this has been my direct experience, this is what all my teachers who have shared about entities, all the peer-to-peer consults with other practitioners, it's much easier to clear entities than it is to persuade the person that entities are gone. And there are a lot of different reasons for this. One of them is that we just have a lot of people with a lot of psychic ability that hasn't been trained. We don't live in a culture that acknowledges this sense. And so if I were in charge of the world, in elementary school, they would start screening kids for high levels of psychic ability and energetic sensitivity. And those children would just be pulled aside for extra training in how to put themselves in a bubble and filter other people's energy and tell if something belongs to them, because it could make such a difference. Like if I'd had that, like between the ages of 7 and 17, it would have saved me a lot of grief and frankly, a lot of social awkwardness, because the energetic overwhelm was part of what had me missing social cues. So we have this percentage of the population that has this ability to sense energy, but no training and no help with interpretation. So it can end up being very scary, very disorienting, very unreliable, very confusing, but also a direct way that we sense and perceive the world. And one of the things I think is really interesting and valuable is to understand the science of how unreliable the five senses are, how our sense of touch, how sensations of pain can be wildly distorted by the brain's interpretation. If we put on glasses that have prisms that turn the world upside down, we'll see the world upside down for a while, but after a fairly short amount of time, our eyes will flip the world. So there's this whole take in the data, and then this processing in the brain, and then this interpretation of what gets tuned into and what gets tuned out and what's important information. And the challenge with people with entity attachments who've gotten really triggered and activated and struggled with it and feel really deeply impacted is that they've inadvertently moved all of their psychic ability into tracking energetic interactions that are happening with them. And our brains totally fill in the blanks because they really like pictures. And I like to pay attention to how my brain does this. So for example, in online dating, I'm really careful how much I think about someone before I meet them in person because I've had enough experiences of having created a different image from the words and the conversation and then found the actual human, not necessarily even bad, but just jarring because they were different than what I imagined, without realizing I was imagining things. So with entities, people create these pictures in their mind. And when I clear entities from my clients, I set up really good shamanic protections for no backsies. Like if I get rid of an entity, it can never come back. But unfortunately, there are many, many, many entities out there. And it's very common for me to hear someone believing the same entity is attached to them because this is the picture they've made. So they take the stimulation and they make it into that image. And we can find examples of that. If you have a tickle on your skin, you might imagine it's a bug or a spider, but it's actually a hare, or, you know, it could be all these different things. So our brains have just sort of a negative predisposition. It's the biology that we inherited from being hunter-gatherer people and being that much longer than modern humans. We're predisposed to interpret things as danger and threat and a problem rather than, no big deal. And so I'm not making light of anyone who is having a lot of sensations and a lot of experiences and is really activated by that. It's a really hard thing. And I talk a lot about, you know, how to work with that and how to deal with it and what the options are. And I have session work I can do to help. You know, there's all of that. But if you're not sure, if you're starting to feel like something might be up, but I'm not positive, learning more about this area could take you down a path where it could be much harder and much more complicated to recover, because the more of a picture in your mind and the more certainty you have that you have a thing, even if it was cleared and removed, or even if you didn't, you can still end up reacting to that. And entities are hard because, unlike the weird tickle on your leg where you can look down and find out if you have a spider or not, we don't get to close that feedback loop in the same way when we start to feel like there might be something present that we don't want there, that we didn't invite. And the human imagination is so easily stimulated. I have no problem clearing ghosts. I've helped lots of ghosts to move on, but I cannot watch even the most benevolent Hollywood ghost movie. Like, you know, that would scare the bejesus out of me. I'd be afraid to go out to my hot tub in the dark. I can't do it. And I'm just really aware of that. And that may sound funny, like actual ghosts, sure, no problem. I can get that handled. You know, the story of a ghost, not anything I want to engage with in a fictional setting. And one of the weird, wacky things about entities is they usually need an energy source. So it's hard to stay focused in a particular engagement when you're non-corporeal. And it's a whole nother, you know, conversation, but part of why I'm such a big fan of soul retrieval is that when people have soul loss and their energy and vitality and essence isn't in their body, their ability to act on the world and be effective and create in life and, you know, navigate is really diminished. And if you don't have a body at all, which entities don't, there's just this much more complicated thing to stay focused in an engagement. And the fear and upset and focus on it generates a lot of energy that can get fed to entities or can even manifest entities. In my full program on entities, I talk about accidental manifestation of entities. So if you have all of your psychic awareness scanning for entities, and then ping, there's an entity, it feels like an invitation that can make things come towards you. Whereas if you're just kind of, you know, in a more neutral place where you haven't definitively created a picture in your head that this is something that's happening, if you're having sensations you don't enjoy, sure, you know, I think it's always great to strengthen your energetic protections, to do Qigong, to get a low drama, very qualified person to take a look and do a clearing if necessary and make any adjustments. That being said, I've also talked to clients who, before they came to me, handed over just absolutely astronomical sums, talking, you know, way more than $10,000 to someone who kept, okay, we're working on the clearing and you're not safe. And, you know, and these weren't necessarily people who were profoundly wealthy to start with. So it wasn't something that they were kind of never going to miss. And so there's a drama factor in people who are working with this, sometimes in a really calculated, you know, let me sell you things. And sometimes in just a, you know, kind of caught up in the drama and somebody who wants to make meaning of their own experience, and the warrior hero archetype really appeals to them. And so, you know, and a lot of times people who are struggling with this issue don't have a lot of money, so it's tempting to find the people who are free or very low cost. But I just, again, want to caution against this, because the more of an elaborate picture and story of this that is created in your mind, the more neural pathways that get created, and the more your psychic awareness is turned to telling your brain, hey, scan for beings that aren't in bodies that might be interacting with me, scan for that. And so something that, you know, wouldn't even have the energy to be noticed by you is suddenly beefed up and empowered, and you're straining, you know, that experience at night when you hear a strange sound and you're straining to hear. It's similar, but that can just keep rolling with the psychic ability, because usually we, you know, eventually hear a strange sound and decide that it's not an intruder, or we get up and look, or we call the police, or whatever we get up to. And there's like a beginning, middle, and end. And the trouble with the fear of entities is it just doesn't have that trajectory. So the more elaborate and detailed your story is, and the more attention you put on it, the more we could clear all the entities and you would still feel like they're attached. So when I do a session with someone, I do it with the expectation that there's a solid chance that they'll still feel like the thing is attached. And there's a lot of kind of the inside job of doing homework and exercises to strengthen the resilience of your energy body. If you've heavily used alcohol or done a lot of drugs, there's a good chance your energy body's been a bit damaged and broken down, and you're a little bit more vulnerable to not being able to command your space as effectively. And so a rebuilding process can be really useful. And for that, you can check out my podcast on working with your energy body if drugs or alcohol were part of your journey, because I talk a lot about that in considerable detail. But at the end of the day, entities are just hard because there's so much elusiveness to our psychic senses. And I'm never going to tell anyone who comes to me experiencing that they have an entity that they don't usually. I say never. I'm reluctant to use that language. But so far, when people have come to me and said that they felt like they had entities attached, they usually have. Sometimes when they say the same thing in a subsequent session, I take a really good look and I'm like, yeah, no, there's really nothing there. Just like we could say head lice and our head could start to scratch, you know, that or start to itch, that can happen, you know, with the suggestion of entities. So people who are drawn to the spiritual and the psychic and all of those kind of things can be really magnetized to haunted houses and, you know, paranormal shows and things like that, and, you know, researching entities and is this happening? And it's kind of one of those things that I think for some people feels good until it doesn't. You know, the sort of, we do lots of things to scare us. There's a huge genre of horror movies. Thrillers are an enormous, you know, industry of all different kinds. And so that sort of safe activation of tension and fear, there's a lot of enlivening aspects of that. And I'm not criticizing or making it wrong. It's just that with entities, it can tip over into some very genuine fear and distress. And having had so many one-on-one conversations with people who have had this experience, I'm just very cognizant of how much suffering and fear and trying a bunch of different things and not necessarily finding the secret sauce that really works can go into this. But the more elaborate the story about entities, the more difficult it is to be free of the experience. So the more it's on your radar, the more it's something you're thinking about, the more it's something you're wondering if it's there. A good analogy is people who have a hypochondria. And again, I want to be really clear, if you're having these energetic experiences where, you know, you're hearing voices or feeling sensations or, you know, those kind of things, I'm not saying you don't have entities. I'm just saying that being strategic in how you work with the thinking mind related to solving that can make a really big difference in how much of a byway in your journey this is, how much time and effort and money and lost sleep and anxiety go into navigating this wacky and complicated situation. So I'm always interested in helping people have the most elegant solution possible. You can take the girl out of engineering, but she still has that inner engineer archetype. And I really like ease, grace, and elegance and the ability to move efficiently through something. And so the invitation is to start to ask questions like what would help me feel energetically safe? And similarly, you know, with someone I was using the analogy of a hypochondriac, it's not to say that there isn't an entity issue, but for the hypochondriac, they start becoming aware of really scary possibilities of ways the body could break down. And their mind creates the image of, what if I have cancer? I think it's a really normal thing that adults are like, oh, I had this weird, unusual symptom. What if it turns out to be cancer? And you know, what if it turns out to be a heart attack? What if it turns out to be, you know, colon cancer? You know, there are these scary, scary ideas that, you know, there's a good balance. There's a balance of, you know, not doing magical thinking, noticing if you have symptoms, getting the most up-to-date medical care, if needed. And one of the things that all my teachers have said about healing health conditions is working with someone before the diagnosis can be easier because we put such weight on diagnosis. It's something that if a medical authority tells you that this is true about you, you can take on the whole image and structure of it. And that just has its own complexity to it. And, you know, I just find the whole place where they discovered the placebo effect, where they ran out of morphine in, I don't remember if it was World War I or World War II. I kind of want to say World War I. And so the nurse started giving saline solution to the doctor to inject as morphine without telling the doctor or the patient that they were out of morphine. And a huge percentage of the men came out of going into shock and found their pain levels came down. This intervention of an injection was something that they really, really believed in. And similarly, if you have this diagnosis of entities because you Googled the 7 signs of entity, you know, attachment or whatever. I'm making up a number. I haven't Googled that, but I'm sure someone has written that list of, you know, a specific number of signs that could indicate that you have this problem. There's just so much that the brain can do that can make you an all-you-can-eat buffet and really amplify the problem without really helping with it. So coming back to questions like, how can I feel energetically protected? You know, for me, wearing a Herkimer diamond, really, really helpful. You know, maybe there are herbs or, you know, a medicine bundle that would feel good. You could put ingredients together. You can put traditional ingredients together. You could have a stone that was blessed by someone whose energy you really feel good about. So there's the energetic protection as something that's effective, but there's also the your mind feeling safe. So the process of how do you go from, oh, I heard a noise, someone might be breaking in, to, no, all is well, I'm safe, I can go back to sleep. That's a really important movement. And not everybody can make that movement. And it's a really hard place to be when that level of fear and imaginings gets really out of hand. And unfortunately, entities are a really fertile ground for that to happen. Again, because you can't close the feedback loop in the way that you can with the physical world. So I'd encourage you to think about onboarding a layperson's understanding of psychic protection. There are a lot of ways to go about it. It's been something that has been of primary concern, you know, for a very, very long time. You see this in all different cultures, you know, and even when you start to see things that get away from these notions, there's still all these, you know, superstitions and ideas and symbols. And, you know, you can go back to ancient Egypt and unearth someone's home, and here's the symbol of the protection to keep the energy out that didn't belong. We really have cared about that as humans, and it's really valid. So there are a lot of different ways to engage in psychic protection, and you can play the warmer, colder game by experimenting with things and seeing what feels good. And the vitality and health of your energy body is another really key part of this. So when our energy body gets depleted, it leaves us a lot more vulnerable to not being able to kind of command our space. So something like Qigong or breath work, there are lots of different ways to build vitality. And working with those is another really good idea. How can I build the vitality of my energy body so I just have a good energetic immune system? How will I visualize holding myself protected and have intention and focus on a system of protection? Because the world is wacky. And again, even if it's not entities per se, it could still be, you know, someone's misdirected anger or someone's just general messiness or someone, you know, who really, really, really wants your beautiful light and tries to cord into you and latch on. There are all these energetic interactions, and it's a lot smoother and more elegant if we can just have this energetic sovereignty, have good filters, not be scared or paranoid, but really have self-trust. There's a learnable skill of protecting yourself energetically if you're an energetically sensitive person. I go into a lot of detail in this in my Energy Body Illumination program. It's my most comprehensive manual that I wish somebody had given to me. But since I can't quite go back in time and make that happen, I put together, like, here's a really solid grounding of what I think is useful to know if you're an energetically sensitive person for the care and feeding of yourself in a society that doesn't support that or doesn't believe in that aspect of you and is still really energetically loud and messy and complicated. So I want to invite you, if you feel called, if it feels aligned, to think about, you know, getting some resources and getting some training and having it be something that it's like, yeah, you know, just like as an adult, we need to know how to care for the physical body. We need to know when to feed it and give it water and give it rest. And when something is a wait and see, and when something is urgent care, and when something's a medical emergency. And, you know, we as an adult, we are expected to be in the world with this fundamental working knowledge of how to take care of the body and get help when we need it. And I just feel for all these energetically sensitive people running around when no one told you that you just needed to have the learnable skill of the care and feeding of your energy body, because when you don't know how to work with it effectively, it's just going to cause some problems. It's going to cause some disruption and some vulnerability and some permeability to other people's energy and some fatigue when you lose energy and some extra vulnerability to codependency. There's just a lot of stuff that goes with being energetically sensitive and not having any training or sense of way to work with it. You know, a lot of people have a temperamental part of their body and they have a really good protocol. Like, my neck can be grumpy, so I have stretches I do, and I have strengthening exercises I do, and I have home remedies like ways of putting heat or, you know, doing cupping on it. And when I travel, I take my pillow with me because it's a very likely thing that if I sleep on a incorrectly sized pillow, I'm going to have a lot of grief the next day. So I have all these kind of interventions that just work with the fact that If I don't tend this part of my body and stay attentive to it, I can end up with some really bad headaches and pain, and it's just not very fun for me. So I have this sense of protocols that I use. And similarly, I think it's just good for energetically sensitive people to have protocols for how we protect our space, how we cleanse our energy body, how we filter other people's energy so that we can move around the world and have this really dynamic experience, but not have a lot of suffering and challenge and overwhelm. And even if you don't have entities on your radar, I think that the managing of energetic sensitivity is just a really, really important topic. So I hope that if you've listened to this podcast, you could be persuaded not to Google or not to Google more signs of an entity attachment or how do I know if a bad spirit is attached to me. Because first of all, there are just so many different kinds of entities that the notion of Google shaking out reliable information for you is pretty low. So it's probably not going to be reliable. And it can give you such a picture in your head. I remember, you know, that when I took the extraction training, this was about removing energy, not entities, but I went through a weekend training in that. And the facilitator said so many times, dozens and dozens of times over and over, you never describe what you see and you take out. So we got trained in how to look for energetic intrusions and find them and how to extract them and how to dispose of them safely. It's very, very technical shamanic work. And the emphasis was don't under any circumstances describe this thing, because if you told somebody like, "Ooh, I saw this yellow pus in your left hip and I pulled it out and I got rid of it," they're not going to remember pulled it out and got rid of it. They're going to remember yellow pus, and that's going to be a picture in their mind associated with their hip, and it can have them using their magic accidentally to manifest difficulties in that area after you've provided a healing. So it's very hard. I love giving journey reports. Oh, the guide said this and they showed me this and this over here. And a lot of times those have a lot of meaning, sometimes beyond even what I understand for people. And the facilitator and the way the curriculum was set up was really aware of that. And it's like, don't give them, just tell them the extraction is complete. You know, things have been removed, you know, and I think that that's really an important principle to just recognize about some of the ways the human brain works, where it can be really magnificent or it can really torment us. And I think going down the rabbit hole of researching entities isn't probably going to give you valuable information. It can give you a lot of incorrect information, a lot of scary information, and it can make you more of an all-you-can-eat buffet for entities. So it can increase the amount of entities. It can increase the food because of your distress for entities. So there's just a lot of going down that pathway and that rabbit hole that can make things worse in a way that really goes beyond what an ill-advised, you know, internet research trying to figure out if you have cancer or not could go down. Because, you know, people don't tend, for the most part, it's very, very, very rare that someone would be able to get really freaked out about cancer and therefore manifest it. There's a lot of kind of movement, fortunately for us, because, you know, if all our fears were coming true, we'd have a much more complicated time. So we can be scared of things and not manifest them. But the entity thing is just a little bit different in this regard. And so protecting your psychological space from these ideas, I would argue, is a really valuable and important part of a protocol to take care of yourself if you fear that this is something that you're dealing with. So anyway, I hope that there's something supportive here. Thank you so much for listening. And I have free articles on my website. If it's within your budget, I do one-on-one work with people. I think, you know, soul retrievals are great for everyone. So I have a lot of different things that I offer, again, at different price points. So including just free, if there's something I've written like this podcast, you know, that can help you, then, you know, I'm really, really hopeful that you can find value and be supported in your life.